Blog Talk Radio.
Infantry.
Yeah. One thing I learned from Peter one time. Never deny. Tempted to catch amnesia sometimes. Never deny. Even when my faith will come a cry. I never deny. When I confess, I put my neck on the line. I never deny.
Yeah. I told you I would never fold, even in the cold. I never lose my hope back against the ropes. The sun's flower from the concrete is where I rose. It's just perspective, ain't no location for highs and lows. I can't believe a lie no more, the truth is in my soul. Holy Spirit, hold my pen, I'm writing with a ghost. The war is on, my hands are up, I'm fighting on 10 toes. I ain't come this far, fight this hard to make myself known. And I can't switch sides no more, the fork is in the road, yo. And I'm trying to eat, yo, my plate garnished with goals. I keep my faith to Yahweh, keep subscribing to the code. Through grace, I'm hanging in there like a closet full of clothes. It's nothing you can promise me to leave that light alone. It's honesty over me trying to be like these clones. I can't turn my faculties over for their control. Them are those who want us dead or either on parole. Never know what rejection is until you've been opposed. Won't understand God's reflection till they fill you with holes. I share my views and get accused of me trying to impose. They push their views through schools and news shows. Persecute the youth for drug use and then powder their nose. Lies and fabricated truths, but how will we know? Unless the Father left us clues inside a book of quotes to show the greatest of all time is a lamb and not a goat. Whoa.
One thing I learned from Peter one time. Never deny. Tempted to catch amnesia sometimes. Never deny. Even when my faith will come a cry. I never deny. When I confess, I put my neck on the line. I never deny.
Yeah. I'ma do this right. That's a sacrifice. They can miss me with the fame, miss me with the hype. You want me to play a game with the things I write. But I was never into playing games with my life. They say there's money on the line and I'm holding the dice. But I have no price, my soul to God, my body cold as ice. Now some might play dumb for 20,000 likes, yeah. But what everybody like won't help me sleep at night, no. Am I called or am I not called to be salt and light, yeah. Did I use God to get me to the table? Now I'm like, I can't reach a broader audience by saying Christ, So I'm supposed to start avoiding him all day and night, huh? Do I have the Holy Spirit? Poltergeist. Yeah, I slimmed down, not from New Orleans, I'm still a soldier right here. This is spiritual warfare that I'm supposed to fight. In Jehovah's sight, all my sin is an oversight. Yeah, my feet planted on a rock like soda and ice. When the money low, I'm still on go, his grace will suffice. There will come a time I can't purchase the merchandise. Keep this six absent from my flesh, that's a word of advice. Chasing bags to get you tagged like Judas type. It's more than just a ticket on your head for running through the light. Yeah, careful not to worship the golden calf. Don't deny, never get caught running with the bullseye like Pippin and Mike.
One thing I learned from Peter one time. Never deny. Tempted to catch amnesia sometimes. Never deny. Even when my faith will come a cry. I never deny. When I confess, I put my neck on the line. I never deny.
The Father, he gon' tell the children what nobody knows. He'll paint the picture with the scripture if we listen close. Give me lesson, give me blessing all throughout my woes. What should've killed me has built me and made me whole. What should've killed me has built me, I'll never fold. What should've killed me has built me, I'm solid gold. What should've killed me has built me, I won't sell my soul. What should've killed me has built me, I'm fully known. No, and ain't nobody tell me it be like this, no. Got the pressure on me, but I won't quit, no. There's an open door, but I won't dip, though. Cause the Holy Spirit told me don't trip, yo. I got you, 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 I got you. That's why I never fold. I got you, 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 I got you. Don't ever let me go. Don't ever let me go. Don't ever let me go. let me go. Don't ever let me go. That's why I never fall, fall, fall.
All right. Got to take myself off of mute. All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Micah Israel. Can't talk today. This is Micah Israel, Waking Up Israel Radio Show. Today is we finna hop back into y'all, the Book of Jasher. I want to do a little reflecting on past shows that we didn't did, for one particular this past Sunday. Just kind of go over the highlights and things of that nature. So we're going to do that and hop back in the Book of Jasher, man, and we'll be reading in there. Let me open up Sistel's line. All right, shalom, Sistel. You're live on air.
Shalom, Brother Micah. Glad to be here, sir.
All right. I'm in a pretty good mood, Sistel.
Well, that's great.
Mood.
That's wonderful.
Things are kind of, you know, looking up for me today. But most importantly, I wanted to kind of do a little reflecting on this past Sunday show. And I've been doing some heavy thinking about what was said. And I came to the realization that I am in an error. I just want to rethink my position by using the word carnal to describe my position. Okay? Kind of been wearing that word carnal like a badge of honor, but I do have faith. And I understand that there is I do have a little spirituality. So carnal is not the ideal word to use to describe my position. You know? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I've been really kind of, you know, wrestling with things and coming to understanding that everything that was said, I can dig it. I can dig that, man. The spiritual, having Christ in us, being born again in Christ. I have that. I already have that already. I can understand a lot what they were saying. And I went and, you know, listened to the show again on my own time. And I've seen that all three of us were on a subject, but we was talking at different frequencies. I was coming from a perspective of the spirituality of walking in Christ, you know, obeying the laws of God, of course, because the walking in Christ is obeying God's law. And it kind of seemed like the other brothers, well, one particular brother, he was talking about flesh and being born again in Christ and spirituality and the difference between flesh. Because he never quite said that when he say flesh, he means the law. You know what I'm saying? So when he say flesh, I mean, I think we was coming from two different perspectives the whole show that I kind of went back and, you know, looked at things. And I think, you know, so Brother Self, yeah, I think he was coming from a different angle, different point of view than where I was. But it was well-needed anyway, though, because that's the well-needed information to have. I believe I got that from my position walking in Christ, because I do accept Christ in my heart. I do believe he's the Messiah, and he's our king, a mediator, you know. And so, I see that I already have that, okay? I guess what I was puzzled at is the difference, though. The difference in knowing that we Israel and coming back to the law. Apparently, when folks say they spiritual, apparently they don't mean under the law or having the law guide their lives or something like that. Apparently that's not wanted or bad. You know what I mean? And I think that was the puzzle in part that I always had. And that's why I went with that carnal in the first place.
Well,
you know what I mean,
brother, that, well, I'm thinking that spiritual, brother, is the spirit of Christ, that the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit within you, then you have the elements that you need. You're going to want to do, you want to walk in the walk of Christ, you know. And you want to keep everything in perspective. You can be an Israelite and still do the same thing. It doesn't matter. What you're doing, what you're saying is that now you know who you are. But still, we walk in Christ. So you're an Israelite walking in Christ because you have that spiritual connection. It's in you. And so you can talk to the wind, you can talk to the rain, you can talk to the storm because you know the Spirit is there. It's in everything. He's in everything. Speak to the mountain and tell it to move out of your way. Speak to hatred. Speak to any, that's the Spirit of Christ. It's the power that comes with the Spirit. So I wouldn't even try to separate the two. I wouldn't try to separate the Israelites from Christ or anything like that, because that's who he was. He was Israelite. Christ, he came back for the children of Israel. So it's all the same. So you got to have that spirit. And that was something else that I wanted to ask you, brother, since you're talking about that.
Go ahead. All right.
What is the wasn't there something about how time, how the Most High's time is not our time, and a day in the Lord is like a thousand years to us, or something similar to that?
Yes, ma'am.
Let's see if we can find that. And what I'm trying to say is that.
Okay.
To the Most High, to our Messiah, it's just been a few days. To us, it's been thousands of years. But to him, it's just been a few days. What, 2,000, 3,000? No, even go back further. I'm just saying. But since Christ came, he came back. You know, that's just, it's just awesome to know that he came back for us. And we're building up to that time to where he's coming back. And so that's basically what I get from that. And I'm sorry, I think I took it to a different level. But, you know, you can continue with your commentaries.
2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8.
Okay.
But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day.
There you go.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I love that verse.
Mm-hmm. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what matter a person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens be on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, and they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Yea, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Yeah.
That was Second Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Second Peter. Mm-hmm. Chapter
Second
three,
Peter,
right,
chapter 3.
Chapter 3. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I read eight all the way down to the end, 8 to 18.
Okay. Okay, that is
mm-hmm.
wonderful. And that tells you that it appears that Paul was trying to preach to the Israelites and the unlearned, which is the Gentiles and that type of thing.
So
each one take away what they need from Paul.
Right.
You take away what you need from Paul. The only thing is that you don't eliminate Paul.
Right.
Yeah.
You said don't eliminate Paul?
You don't eliminate Paul because he's in our canon for a reason.
Oh, no. And we don't want to take his... Yeah.
You know, talk down
we don't want to
Paul
take his epistles
because Paul
away.
Does real good. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's speaking to everyone. That's what I'm saying. And so that's what I was just saying. But what I'm saying and about the days and everything, and it's just been a few days since Christ. You know, the Most High's time. The Messiah's time, not our time. The Messiah's
right on.
Time.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's just like, it's been 2 days. Well, has it been is it 2003? Something similar to that. But I'm just saying that, you know, you have to think of it that, you know, like that, you know, he's still working. He's still doing what he do. And
right.
it takes that much time for us to comprehend just what he's doing. It's amazing. It just goes to show you how small our brains are. It's limited.
Right.
We are limited. So we can't know everything. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's impossible. So, of course, everyone speaks and they feel in their spirit. The spirit is what opens the door to knowledge and wisdom. And then we come out of the box. You know, into that other realm. Yeah. Then you start thinking outside of the box. And then, then it's an explosion into your heart and mind and your soul and your spirit because you know that you're in the company of the Almighty, of our creators, of the heavenly beings, of our Messiah. They hear us. They know what we're doing. You know? You have to know that, you know, and believe that and have faith that that's what's happening. Because we must live by faith. If we don't have that, we don't have anything.
Mm.
Okay, brother, I'm going to let you go ahead and take it because I'll start talking more and more. But I appreciate those, I appreciate those brothers, though, really. It's powerful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do because it brings balance to the show. But I think we're still talking. I didn't do the best job at describing my position.
Don't worry about it. What they brought. Don't worry about it, brother. You did what you did. That's what you were supposed to do. That's what I'm saying. You do you. Because they're doing that. They doing them. And where their bosses fall, it's on the listeners. You know? That's what I'm saying. So you do you. Also, I think, do you have someone on another line?
Well, yeah.
I thought I heard someone on another line. Okay.
No.
Oh, okay, hold I thought you had another caller.
Okay, let me check this out. No, it's just me and you, sister.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Just me and you. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to read something right quick. This is St. John, Big John, Baptism John. I wanted to read chapter 14 in its entirety right quick.
Okay.
All right, this is red letter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let not your heart be troubled. Yea, believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there yea may be also. And whither I go, yea, no. And the way, yea, no. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if yea had known me, yea should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, yea, know him and have seen him. I think that's powerful, him saying that right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, if you know Christ, you should know his Father also, right?
Right.
Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. All right?
Absolutely.
That's a powerful verse right there.
Absolutely.
If you love me,
of course.
What's the dead to the law and all? What's all that? I don't know. I'm just ranting.
They don't even have to even bring that up. Yeah.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas say unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, okay, I don't want to mute you. Okay, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. All right, what's in the remembrance, Estelle? The book of remembrance? That's another word for the Torah. It's the book of remembrance. Always go back to the Torah and know how what commandments of God, you know, those are words coming from God. You know what I'm saying? They call that the book of remembrance. All right. Peace I will leave you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I'll go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh to have nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. All right. Sister? Okay. Probably busy or something right now. But, so Paul said dead in Christ. We're all dead in Christ. He's talking about the resurrection and the crucifixion, and I get that. I'm trying to digest it, y'all. I'm trying to digest it. I'm still working on it. Dead in Christ. And I'm thinking, we're all dead in our sins. This is the king of the world, right? I'm thinking, I'm meditating on this, y'all. I'm just meditating. And trying to speak it all out, you know, make some understanding of it.
Yes.
Estelle, I was just reading John chapter 14. And he ended it. He ended it. Verse 31. I'm going to read it again for you. Verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go in. So that's the way it ended right there. So he's basically saying, even I, the Messiah, You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The Father gave me a commandment also. And I got to obey the Father.
Right.
You know, I got a commandment that I got to do also.
Mm-hmm.
Just like y'all. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, everything is indicating on us keeping these commandments, you know? I mean,
we got to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm just kind of, I know. I know you agree with me, Tisdale. I'm just.
No, I'm not just agreeing with you. I believe what you're saying.
Gotcha. I'm just trying to put things that were said together and meditate on them. I'm stop calling myself carnal, man. Because I think it gives off a. I think I learned a lesson on that one. So all right, Cecile, let's get back in the Book of Jasher and where we leave off at. I believe we're on 39.
All right.
Chapter 39, I want to say where we left off. Because 38, 37, 38, they're battling. They're battling. They won the victory of scrimmages. It's almost like once it got started, then the ball just kind of went downhill, man. They fought some people. Hold on. Let me start from the beginning. Their baby sister got kidnapped and was forced into marriage, but the marriage was rejected by the Israelites. They end up killing that whole tribe there. Well, the book call it a city, but it's more like a tribe of people, maybe even a little city or whatever you want to call it. But they end up killing all the men there. And then they departed ways from that area. And then years later, they came back, around about 7 years later, 7-8 years later. And when they came back, the drama was just finna get started because there's some more people in that land, and their fame of what they've done then spread it around, and they are not liked in this area. So the people came together in unity in the surrounding counties or whatever, you know, and they made war upon them, and they defeated them. And next thing you know, some more people heard about it. And now they got to fight them. Because all of these tribes that occupy this land, which is Israel, they're all related. They're different Hamitic tribes, but they all are related. You know what I'm saying? Same family tree. So you mess with one, you're going to have to mess with them all. And so the next thing you know, they're bouncing around, taking over this town, that town. They're just nonstop fighting. And it all started because one of them took their little sister.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so the ball is rolling downhill, and that's what 37, 39 is, them just massacring the whole country, basically, one tribe after another. Putting
different
them back.
Pages. Yeah.
And
Yeah,
and the Most High is right there with them in battle.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. We started 39. Let's go ahead and hop on in.
Okay.
And when the sons of Jacob went from the city of Sarton, they have gone about 200 cubits when they met the inhabitants of Tanakh coming toward them. For they went out to fight with them because they had smitten the king of Tanakh, Abnot, and all his men. So all that remained in the city of Tanakh came out to fight with the sons of Jacob, and they thought to retake from them the booty and the spoil which they had captured from Chazar in Sarton. And the rest of the men of Tanakh fought with the sons of Jacob in that place, and the sons of Jacob smote them, and they fled before them, and they pursued them to the city of Arbelon, and they all fell before the sons of Jacob. And the sons of Jacob returned and came to Tanakh to take away the spoil of Tanakh. And when they came to Tanakh, they heard that the people of Arbelan had gone out to meet them to save the spoil of their brethren. And the sons of Jacob left 10 of the men in Tanakh to plunder the city. And they went out toward the people of Arbelan. And the men of Arbelan went out with their wives to fight with the sons of Jacob, for their wives were experienced in battle. And they went out, about 400 men and women. And all the sons of Jacob shouted with a loud voice, and they all ran toward the inhabitants of Arbelan. And with a great and tremendous voice, and the inhabitants of Arbelan heard the noise of the shouting of the sons of Jacob, and their roaring like the noise of lions, and like the roaring of the sea and its waves. And fear and terror possessed their hearts on account of the sons of Jacob, and they were terribly afraid of them. And they retreated and fled before them into the city. And the sons of Jacob pursued them to the gate of the city, and they came upon them in the city. And the sons of Jacob fought with them in the city, and all their women were engaged in slinging against the sons of Jacob. And the combat was very severe amongst them the whole of the day till evening. And the sons of Jacob could not prevail over them. And the sons of Jacob had almost perished in that battle. And the sons of Jacob cried unto the Lord and greatly gained strength toward evening. And the sons of Jacob smote all the inhabitants of Arbelan by the edge of the sword, men, women, and little ones. And also the remainder of the people who had fled from Sardis, the sons of Jacob smote them in Arbelan. And the sons of Jacob did unto Arbelan and Tapnach as they had done to Chazar and Sarton. And when the women saw that all the men were dead, they went upon the roofs of the city and smote the sons of Jacob by showering down stones like rain. And the sons of Jacob hastened and came into the city and seized all the women and smote them with the edge of the sword. And the sons of Jacob captured all the spoil and booty, flocks and herds and cattle. And the sons of Jacob did unto Machanaimah as they had done to Tapnach and Chazar and to Shiloh. And they turned from there and went away. And on the fifth day, the sons of Jacob heard that the people of Gosh had gathered against them to battle, because they had slain their king and their captains. For there had been 14 captains in the city of Gosh, and the sons of Jacob had slain them all in the first battle. The sons of Jacob that day girded on their weapons of war, and they marched to battle against the inhabitants of Gosh. And in Gosh there was a strong and mighty people of the people of the Amorites. And Gosh was the strongest, the best fortified city of all the cities of the Amorites. And it had three walls. And the sons of Jacob came to Gosh, and they found the gates of the city locked, and about 500 men standing at the top of the outermost wall. And the people, numerous as the sand upon the seashore, were in ambush for the sons of Jacob from without the city at the rear thereof. And the sons of Jacob approached to open the gates of the city. And while they were drawing nigh, behold, those who were in ambush at the rear of the city came forth from their places and surrounded the sons of Jacob. And the sons of Jacob were enclosed between the people of Gosh, and the battle was both to their front and rear. And all the men that were upon the wall were casting from the wall upon them arrows and stones. And Judah, seeing that the men of Gosh were getting too heavy for them, gave a most piercing and tremendous shriek. And all the men of Gosh were terrified at the voice of Judah's cry. And men fell from the wall at his powerful shriek. And all those that were from without and within the city were greatly afraid of their lives. That's a loud shriek, ain't it, Sister Dale? I mean, well, he did a lot of a big yell or something, right? Or something like that? Okay. He must be busy. Okay. And the sons of Jacob still came nigh to break the doors of the city, And when the men of God threw stones and arrows upon the, from the top of the wall and made them flee from the gate. And the sons of Jacob returned against the men of Gash, who were with them from without the city. And they smote them terribly, as striking against gourds. And they could not stand against the sons of Jacob, for fright and terror had seized them at the street of Judah. And the sons of Jacob slew all those men who were without the city. And the sons of Jacob still drew nigh to effect an entrance into the city and fight under the city walls. But they could not, for the inhabitants of Gash, who remained in the city, had surrounded the walls of Gash in every direction, so that the sons of Jacob were unable to approach the city to fight with them. Okay. And the sons of Jacob came nigh to one corner to fight under the wall. Okay, let me take a stop right there for a second. Okay, Sister Dale, you good? Okay, she must got me on mute.
Yes, I'm still here. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, just
I'm still here, brother.
I'm coming across all right? My voice?
Yes, you're fine,
my
brother.
Microphone?
Yes.
Okay. I was just checking.
Yeah, I put myself on mute so the noise behind me will not interfere.
Okay, I hear you, Sister. I just didn't know if my mic was working or not.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Where was I? Anyway, Judah was doing a some type of streak. Streak.
Streak. Like he a yell, a shout.
Yeah.
It was so loud, like thunder. Yes, it was like thunder because he called upon the Most High.
Right, but I at the same time, I kind of see that the Book of Jasher is like really a big fan of, you know, Israel. Of, you know, they, I don't know. It's kind of starting to sound like they making it more than what it was. You know what I'm saying? He yelled out and people start being scared and, you know, falling from the wall and everything like that. You know, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying that it's passed down word of mouth, you know.
Well, even in today's time, I'm sorry, Brother Micah, the word, the name of Jesus can do a lot of things. It changes a lot of things. You just need to do the word. I just wanted to point that out to you. It still works today. Whether it's a shout, a small voice, but there's power behind the name. I'm just letting you know that. And that's exactly what it doesn't specifically say what the shriek was when he shouted out, but it's just saying that he shouted, he and his men, I guess. But whatever happened, it made everyone tremble. And the name of our Messiah has that power. Okay, I believe.
Yeah, I know our scriptures say the name Jesus, but we know
I understand. That's why I say the name of our Messiah, in case others, you know, use that.
Right. All right. Let's see, where did I stop at? Okay, 22. And the sons of Jacob slew all those men who were without the city, and the sons of Jacob still drew nigh to effect an entrance into the city and fight under the city walls, but they could not, for all the inhabitants of Gash who remained in the city had surrounded the walls of Gash in every direction so that the sons of Jacob were unable to approach the city to fight with them. And the sons of Jacob came nigh to one corner to fight under the wall. The inhabitants of Gash drew arrows and stones upon them like showers of rain, and they fled from under the wall. And the people of Gash who were upon the wall, seeing that the sons of Jacob did not prevail over them from under the wall, reproached the sons of Jacob in these words, saying, "What is the matter with you in the battle that you cannot prevail? Can you then do unto the mighty city of Gaash and its inhabitants as you did to the cities of the Amorites that were not so powerful? Surely to those weak ones amongst us you did those things and slew them in the entrance of the city, for they had no strength when they were terrified at the sound of your shouting. And will you now then be able to fight in this place? Surely here you will all die, and we will avenge the cause of those cities that you have laid waste." And the inhabitants of Gaash greatly reproached the sons of Jacob and reviled them with their gods, and continued to cast arrows and stones upon them from the wall. And Judah and his brothers heard the words of the inhabitants of Gaash, and their anger was greatly roused. And Judah was jealous of his God in this manner. And he called out and said, "O Lord, help. Send help to us and our brothers." And he ran at a distance with all his might, with his drawn sword in his hand. And he sprang from the earth, and by dint of his strength, mounted the wall, and his sword fell from his hand. And Judah shouted upon the wall, and all the men that were upon the wall were terrified. And some of them fell from the wall into the city and died. And those who were yet upon the wall, when they saw Judah's strength, they were greatly afraid and fled for their lives into the city for safety. And some were emboldened to fight with Judah upon the wall, and they came nigh to slay him when they saw there was no sword in Judah's hand. And they thought of casting him from the wall to his brothers, and 20 men of the city came up to assist him. And they surrounded Judah, and they all shouted over him and approached him with drawn swords, and they terrified Judah. And Judah cried out to his brothers from the wall. And Jacob and his sons drew the bow from under the wall and smote 3 of the men that were upon the top of the wall. And Judah continued to cry, and he exclaimed, "O Lord, help us. O Lord, deliver us." And he cried out with a loud voice upon the wall, and the cry was heard at a great distance. And after this cry, he again repeated to shout. And all the men who surrounded Judah on the top of the wall were terrified. And they each threw his sword from his hand at the sounds of Judah's shouting and his tremor and fled. They threw down their swords and ran.
Yes, they did. Okay, brother.
He shouted so loud that it scared him. Okay. Okay.
There again, we don't know exactly what he said, but whatever it was powerful enough for them to believe that that frightened them. Mm-hmm.
Right. Because they just seen him jump pretty high, I take it.
Hit the wall, climbing the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what did it. But, yeah, so they threw down their swords, and then they fled. Okay. All right.
And you know,
hold on one
second, brother. When he jumped and hit that wall, apparently 2 or 3 of those guys that was on top of the wall fell and died. It's like,
yeah,
he shook the wall.
I'm trying to hear him.
When he hit it.
Yeah. Yeah, like when he ran up like that and jumped on the wall, I imagine folks trying to get out of the way.
Yes.
And I don't think that ledge
hit that wall.
And I'm thinking that that ledge wasn't that wide. So as they standing up on there, and he jumped up there, and
it's the power of the Almighty, the Most High. Hey, nothing can stand that. I don't care what it is. It's just the way it is. So you have to read this in the spirit. And so he did that leap like that and hit that wall, and three guys fall off and died. Unless he hit the building, his sword fell out of his hands, which lets you know that his impact hit the wall or wherever he was trying to grab onto, and it came with power because he prayed for it and he leaped. It's like he leaped in faith at that wall. So it wasn't just him hitting that wall. And if those guys fell, I'm sure the rest of them was really frightened because he, like, didn't fall down to the ground or in the smoke or whatever, and he was still there. And he was still shouting. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to literally pick it up like that.
I don't know how tall this wall was, but I'm thinking it was at a height that they perceived to be supernatural if he was able to jump up there, you know? And so Judah ended up running and got up on top of this wall. He jumped up there or kind of used his foot to kind of get a little push off and is able to grab onto the ledge and pull himself up there like that. Either which way, it blew their minds.
Yeah.
It blew their minds.
They see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
brother. I'm sorry. I'm just excited.
Yeah. It blew. Whatever happened, it blew their minds, and they end up a couple of them end up falling down off the wall, trying to get out the way. Okay, because he didn't mess around and got up there. So it must have been kind of high because his other brothers didn't just run after behind him. So I'm thinking it was kind of high up there. You know, it was high enough to blow their minds that he got up there like that. All right, let's see, where am I at? Okay, they dropped their swords and they just ran. Okay, 34. And Judah took the swords which had fallen from their hands, and Judah fought with them and slew 20 of their men upon the wall, and about 80 men and women still ascending the wall from the city, and they all surrounded Judah. And the Lord impressed the fear of Judah in their hearts, that they were unable to approach him. And Jacob and all who were with him drew the bow from under the wall, and they slew 10 men upon the wall, and they fell below the wall before Jacob and his sons. And the people upon the wall, seeing that 20 of their men had fallen, they still ran toward Judah with drawn swords. But they could not approach him, for they were greatly terrified at Judah's strength. And one of their mighty men, whose name was Arud, approached to strike Judah upon the head with the sword. When Judah hastily put his shield to his head, and the sword hit the shield, and it was split in two. And this mighty man, after he had struck Judah, ran for his life at the fear of Judah, and his feet slipped upon the wall, and he fell amongst the sons of Jacob who were below the wall. And the sons of Jacob smote him and slew him. And Judah's head pained from the blow of the powerful man, and Judah had nearly died from it. And Judah cried out upon the wall owing to the pain produced by the blow. When Dan heard him, and his anger burned within him, and he also rose up and went at a distance, and ran and sprang from the earth and mounted the wall with his wrath excited strength. And when Dan came upon the wall, near unto Judah, all the men upon the wall fled who had stood against Judah. And they went up to the second wall, and they threw arrows and stones upon Dan and Judah from the second wall, and endeavored to drive them from the wall. And the arrows and stones struck Dan and Judah, and they had nearly been killed upon the wall. And wherever Dan and Judah fled from the wall, they were attacked with arrows and stones from the second wall. And Jacob and his sons were at the entrance of the city below, the first wall, and they were not able to draw their bow against the inhabitants of the city, as they could not be seen by them, being upon the second wall. And Dan and Judah, when they could no longer bear the stones and arrows, they fell upon them from the second wall. They both sprang upon the second wall near the people of the city. And when the people of the city who were upon the second wall saw that Dan and Judah have come to them upon the second wall, they all cried out and descended below between the walls. And Jacob and his sons heard the noise of the shouting from the people of the city, and they were still at the entrance of the city, and they were anxious about Dan and Judah, who were not seen by them, they being upon the second wall. So all this was going on, they can hear it, and they don't know what's going on, so they worried about Dan and Judah. All right. They worried about
okay.
It.
Hey, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, 47. And Naphtali went up with his wrath, excited by it, and sprang upon the first wall to see what caused the noise of shouting, which they had heard in the city. And Issachar and Zebulun drew nigh to break the doors of the city. And they opened the gates of the city and came into the city. And Naphtali leaped from the first wall to the second and came to assist his brothers and inhabitants of Gash who were upon the wall. Seeing that Naphtali was the third who had come up to assist his brothers, they all fled and descended into the city. And Jacob and all his sons and all their young men came into the city to them. And Judah and Dan and Naphtali descended from the wall into the city and pursued the inhabitants of the city. And Simeon and Levi were from without the city and knew not that the gate was open. And they went up from there to the wall and came down to their brothers into the city. Mm-hmm. And inhabitants of the city had all descended into the city. Okay. Have all descended into the city. And the mm-hmm. sons of Jacob came to them in different directions. And the battle waged against them from the front and the rear. And the sons of Jacob smote them terribly and slew about 20,000 of them men, 20,000 of them men and women. Not one of them could stand up against the sons of Jacob. And the blood flowed plentifully in the city, and it was like a brook of water. And the blood flowed like a brook to the outer part of the city and reached the desert of Beth-Chorim. And the people of Bethlehem saw at a distance the blood flowing from the city of Gosh. And about 70 men from amongst them ran to see the blood. And they came to the place where the blood was. And they followed the track of the blood and came to the wall of the city of Gosh. And they saw the blood issue from the city. And they heard the voice of crying from the inhabitants of Gosh, for it ascended unto heaven. And the blood was continued to flow abundantly like a brook of water. And all the sons of Jacob were still smiting the inhabitants of Gash and were engaged in slaying them till evening. About 20,000 men and women and people of Korin said, surely this is the work of the Hebrews, for they are still carrying on war in all the cities of the Amorites. And those people hastened and ran to Bethlehem. And each took his weapons of war. And they cried out to all the inhabitants of Bethlehem, who also girt on their weapons of war, to go and fight with the sons of Jacob. And when the sons of Jacob had done smiting the inhabitants of Gash, they walked about the city to strip all the slain. And coming in the innermost part of the city, and further on, they met three powerful men. And there was no sword in their hand. And the sons of Jacob came up to the place where they were. And the powerful men ran away. And one of them had taken Zebulun, who he saw was a young lad in short stature, and with his might dashed him to the ground. And Jacob ran to him with the sword. And Jacob smote him because his loins, below his loins. with the sword and cut him in two, and the body fell upon Zebulun. Oh, man. So these guys, these three guys that didn't have a sword, I take it they was pretty tall and big, huge, like a giant. They were pretty big dudes. Okay, gotcha. Picked up Zebulun and slammed him to the ground. Okay, gotcha. And Jacob cut him, cut his legs off, look like, sound like. Okay, 59. And the second one approached and seized Jacob to fell him to the ground. And Jacob turned to him and shouted to him, while Simeon and Levi ran and smote him on the hips with the sword and fell him to the ground. And the powerful man rose up from the ground in wrath, excited might. And Judah came to him before he had gained his footing and struck him upon the head with the sword. And his head was split, and he died. And the third powerful man, seeing that his companions were killed, ran from before the sons of Jacob. And the sons of Jacob pursued him in the city. And while the powerful man was fleeing, he found one of the swords of inhabitants of the city. And he picked it up and turned to the sons of Jacob and fought them with that sword. And that powerful man ran to Judah to strike him upon the head with the sword. And there was no shield in the hand of Judah. And while he was aiming to strike him, Naphtali hastily took his shield and put it to Judah's head. And the sword of the powerful man hit the shield of Naphtali, and Judah escaped the sword. And Simeon and Levi ran upon the powerful man with their swords and struck at him forcibly with their swords. And the two swords entered the body of the powerful man and divided it in two, lengthwise. And the sons of Jacob smote. I know, right? It's kind of gory, you know? You know, these guts and everything was all coming out.
Sounds like they were very tall men, giants, because they was trying to get them, had to bring them down to size.
Right, right. Especially when you hear about Jacob below his loins, basically cut off his legs. So,
yeah,
I mean...
looked like that's where he could have to hit him down below because he was taller.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And his brothers, they hit him around the hip. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that means he was tall. The man was tall.
Yeah. Right. And I guess, but that. Yeah, we're reading about giants, man.
Yeah.
What they will call a giant.
Right.
But it's more like a Shaquille O'Neal type of brother, you know?
Right.
Okay. All right, 64. And the sons of Jacob smote the three mighty men at that time, together with all the inhabitants of Gaash, and the day was about to decline. And the sons of Jacob walked about Gaash and took all the spoil in the city, even the little ones and women they did not suffer to live. And the sons of Jacob did unto Gaash as they had done to Sarton and Shiloh.
They killed everyone. Women and children.
Right. Women and children. That's right. They sure did. All right, Sistel, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, I'll be reading chapter 40.
Okay.
All right. Put you on hold. And, let's play. I guess it's a good time to play Amos. Amos 3.
Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I made a promise, can't nobody take it. I chose to put you above all the nations. Out of your graves, I chose to awaken. We made a covenant, don't you forsake it. Come get protected while they going crazy. Israel, my firstborn, my baby. Israel, my firstborn, my baby. I woke you up in your land of captivity. I do not change, I want you to remember me. Laws and commandments, I gave you the remedy. Go read the testimonies for your memory. I sent them prophets, but you wasn't hearing me. I come to you if you really come near to me. I heard your cry, now it's time to say it. I don't know what got you from all of your enemies. Who you know open the sea? Them waters are bitter, but I made it sweet. Case you ain't know how to swim, I'm your protector, so I made you walk on your feet. This a reminder you married to me. I just want you to be all I called you to be. They called you niggas, but I made you priests. I'm about to give you back everything. I'm sending plagues for you. I'm sending boys, drying up rivers. I leave them dead for you. To Pharaoh, let my people go. You heard what I said for you. To Pharaoh, let my people go. You heard what I said for you. For you. You only ever I know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home, Israel. I'm the reason you in captivity. We made a covenant, you ain't remember me. You broke the covenant, I sent your enemies. Get out my land since you wasn't fearing me. I'm the reason they put you in chains. I'm the reason they switched up your name. I'm the reason why you in the hood. I'm the reason of all your pain. I'm sending flows fast daily. Think I don't lose you. Y'all my babies, gave my son. Must be crazy. Come out that system, come out of that lady. They got that military, it would not phase me. It would not move me, it would not graze me. Remember Egypt, I did all that for my people. You only ever I know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. You only ever I know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. Israel.
I love that song. Yeah, I love that song. All right, Sister Ellen, open your line.
But I do too, brother. I'm telling you, that was a he just kind of put it all in one sloop. He just kind of brought it all to us, you know.
Yeah.
That's a powerful song. And you say that song is by who, brother?
Hezekiah, a brother named Hezekiah.
Okay, well then I'm gonna try to find that.
All right.
That is awesome.
All right. So let's get into chapter 40.
Okay.
All right. Chapter 40, verse 1. Here we go. And the sons of Jacob led away all the spoil of Gaash and went out of the city by night. And they were going out marching toward the castle of Bethuren. And then the inhabitants of Bethuren were going to the castle to meet them. And on that night, the sons of Jacob fought with the inhabitants of Bethuren in the castle of Bethuren. And all the inhabitants of Bethuren were mighty men. One of them would not flee from before 1,000 men. And they fought on that night upon the castle. And their shouts were heard on that night from afar, and the earth quaked at their shouting. And all the sons of Jacob were afraid of those men, as they were not accustomed to fight in the dark, and they were greatly confounded. And the sons of Jacob cried unto the Lord, saying, give help to us, O Lord, deliver us, that we may not die by the hands of these uncircumcised men. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of the sons of Jacob. And the Lord caused great terror and confusion to seize the people of Bethuren. And they fought amongst themselves. the one with the other in the darkness of night, and smote each other in great numbers. And the sons of Jacob, knowing that the Lord had brought a spirit of perverseness amongst those men, and that they fought each man with his neighbor, went forth from among the bands of people of Bethurim, and went as far as the descent of the castle of Bethurim, and farther, and they tarried there securely with their young men on that night. And the people of Bethurim fought the whole night, one man with his brother, and the other with his neighbor. And they cried out in every direction upon the castle, and their cry was heard at a distance. But the whole earth shook at their voice, for they were powerful above all the people of the earth. Sound like giants again. And all the inhabitants of the cities of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and all the kings of Canaan, and all those who were on the other side of the Jordan, heard the noise of the shouting on that night. And they said, surely these are the battles of the Hebrews who are fighting against the seven cities who came nigh unto them. Who can stand against those Hebrews? And all the inhabitants of the cities of the Canaanites, and all those who were on the other side of the Jordan, were greatly afraid of the sons of Jacob. For they said, behold, the same will be done to us as we done to those cities. For who can stand against their mighty strength? And the cries of the Canaanites were very great on that night, and continued to increase. And they smote each other till morning, and the numbers of them were killed. And the morning appeared, and all the sons of Jacob rose up at daybreak, and went up to the castle, and they smote those who remained of the Canaanites in a terrible manner, that they were all killed in the castle. And the sixth day appeared, and all the inhabitants of Canaan saw at a distance all the people of Beth-Korin lying dead in the castle of Bethurim, and strewed about as the carcasses of lambs and goats. And the sons of Jacob led all the spoil which they have captured from Gaash, and went to Bethurim, and they found that the city full of people like the sand of the sea. And they fought with them, and the sons of Jacob smote them there to evening time. And the sons of Jacob did unto Bethurim as they had done unto Gaash and Tapnach, and as they had done to Chazor, to Sarton, and to Shiloh. That means they probably killed women and children. When they say things like that, they did it the same way. And the sons of Jacob took with them the spoil of Bethurim and all the spoil of the city. And on that day they went home to Shechem. And the sons of Jacob came home to the city of Shechem, and they remained without the city. And they then rested there from the war and tarried there all night. I don't know where I read it from, but this is a tradition right here they're talking about. Right when you come back from a battle.
You don't go into the city.
They just kind of outside of the city. There's a lot of bloodshed. They killed a lot of people, so they got this meditation. They used to do this meditation and kind of getting their minds right, because they're going to have this like PTSD. You know what I'm saying? It's that type of thing.
Yeah.
They, they got to shake that spirit off of them and things like that. So they're meditating and healing each other mentally from all what they had done in the war, you know.
Yeah.
All right. And all the service together with all the spoil that they had taken from the cities, they left without the city and did not enter the city. For they said, peradventure, there may be yet more fighting against us, and they may come to besiege us in Shechem. And Jacob and his sons and their servants remained on that night and the next day in the portion of the field which Jacob had purchased from Hamor for 5 shekels, and all that they had captured was with them. And all the booty which the sons of Jacob had captured was in the portion of the field, immense as the sand upon the seashore. And the inhabitants of the land observed them from afar. And all the inhabitants of the land were afraid of the sons of Jacob who had done this thing. For no king from the days of old had ever done the like. And the seven kings of the Canaanites resolved to make peace with the sons of Jacob. For they were greatly afraid of their lives on account of the sons of Jacob. And on that day, being the seventh day, Japhia, king of Hebron, sent secretly to the king of Ai, and to the king of Gibeon, and to the king of Shalem, and to the king of Adullam, and to the king of Lachish, and to the king of Chazar, and to all the Canaanitish kings who were under their subjection, saying, go up with me, and come to me that we may go to the sons of Jacob, and I will make peace with them, and form a treaty with them, lest all your lands be destroyed by the swords of the sons of Jacob, as they did to Shechem, and the cities around it, as you have heard and seen. And when you come to me, do not come with many men, but let every king bring his three head captains, and every captain bring three of his officers. And come, all of you, to Hebron, and we will go together to the sons of Jacob and supplicate them that they shall form a treaty of peace with us. And all those kings did as the king of Hebron had sent to them. For they were all under his counsel and command, and all the kings of Canaan assembled to go to the sons of Jacob to make peace with them. And the sons of Jacob returned and went to the portion of the field that was in Shechem, for they did not put confidence in the kings of the land. And the sons of Jacob returned and remained in the portion of the field 10 days, and no one came to make war with them. And when the sons of Jacob saw that there was no appearance of war, they all assembled and went to the city of Shechem. And the sons of Jacob remained in Shechem. And at a expiration of 40 days, all the kings of the Amorites assembled from all their places and came to Hebron and Japhia, king of Hebron. And the number of kings that came to Hebron to make peace with the sons of Jacob was 21 kings. And the number of captains that came with them was 69, and their men were 189. And all these kings and their men rested by Mount Hebron. And the king of Hebron went out with his three captains and 9 men, and these kings resolved to go to the sons of Jacob to make peace. And they said unto the king of Hebron, go thou before us with thy men, and speak for us unto the sons of Jacob, and we will come after thee and confirm thy words. And the king of Hebron did so. And the sons of Jacob heard that all the kings of Canaan had gathered together and rested in Hebron. The sons of Jacob sent 4 of their servants as spies, saying, go and spy these kings and search and examine their men, whether they are few or many. And if they are but few in number, number them all and come back. And the servants of Jacob went secretly to these kings and did as the sons of Jacob had commanded them. And on that day they came back to the sons of Jacob and said unto them, we came unto those kings, and they are but few in number. And we numbered them all, and behold, they were 288 kings and men. And the sons of Jacob said, they are but few in number. Therefore, we will not all go out to them. And in the morning, the sons of Jacob rose up and chose 62 of their men. And 10 of the sons of Jacob went with them. And they girded on their weapons of war, for they said, they are coming to make war with us, for they knew not that they were coming to make peace with them. And the sons of Jacob went with their servants to the gate of Shechem, for those kings, and their father Jacob was with them. And when they had come forth, behold, the king of Hebron and his three captains and 9 men with them were coming along the road against the sons of Jacob. And the sons of Jacob lifted up their eyes and saw at a distance Japhia, king of Hebron, with his captains coming toward them. And the sons of Jacob took their stand at the place of the gate of Shechem and did not proceed. And the king of Hebron continued to advance, he and his captains, until he came nigh to the sons of Jacob. He and his captains bowed down to them to the ground. And the king of Hebron sat with his captains before Jacob and his sons. And the sons of Jacob said unto him, "What has befallen thee, O king of Hebron? Why hast thou come to us this day? Why dost thou require from, what dost thou require from us?" And the king of Hebron said unto Jacob, "I beseech thee, my lord, all the kings of the Canaanites have this day come to make peace with you." And the sons of Jacob heard the words of the king of Hebron, and they would not consent to his proposal. For the sons of Jacob had no faith in him, for they imagined that the king of Hebron had spoken deceitfully to them. And the king of Hebron knew from the words of the sons of Jacob that they did not believe his words. And the king of Hebron approached nearer to Jacob and said unto him, "I beseech thee, my lord, to be assured that all these kings have come to you on peaceable terms, for they have not come with all their men, neither did they bring their weapons of war with them, for they have come to seek peace from my lord and his sons." And the sons of Jacob answered the king of Hebron, saying, "Send thou to all these kings, and if thou speakest truth unto us, let them each come singly before us. And if they come to us unarmed, we shall then know they seek peace from us." And Japhia, king of Hebron, sent one of his men to the kings, and they all came before the sons of Jacob and bowed down to them to the ground. And these kings sat before Jacob and his sons, and they spoke unto them, saying, "We have heard all that you did unto the kings of the Amorites with your sword and exceedingly mighty arm, so that no man could stand up before you. And we were afraid of you for the sake of our lives, lest it shall befall us as it did to them. So we have come unto you to form a treaty of peace between us. And now, therefore, contract with us a covenant of peace and truth, that you will not meddle with us, insomuch as we have not meddled with you." And the sons of Jacob knew that they had really come to seek peace from them. And the sons of Jacob listened to them and formed a covenant with them. And the sons of Jacob swore unto them that they would not meddle with them. And all the kings of Canaanite swore also to them. And the sons of Jacob made them tributaries from that day forward. And after this, all the captains of these kings came with their men before Jacob, with presents in their hands for Jacob and his sons, and they bowed down to him to the ground. And these kings then urged the sons of Jacob and begged of them to return all the spoil that they have captured from the seven cities of the Amorites. And the sons of Jacob did so, and they returned all that they had captured, the women, the little ones, the cattle, and all the spoil which they had taken. And they sent them off, and they went away each to his city. And all these kings, they had women and little ones, but they didn't kill all those. Okay, gotcha.
No, they didn't kill all of them at first. No.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. All right. And all these kings again bowed down to the sons of Jacob, and they sent or brought them many gifts in those days. And the sons of Jacob sent off these kings and their men, and they went peaceably away from them to their city. And the sons of Jacob also returned to their home in Shechem. And there were peace from that day forward between the sons of Jacob and the kings of the Canaanites, until the children of Israel came to inherit the land of Canaan. Okay. That's the end of 40.
That was good. And yeah, I believe when they first ascended on the city, they didn't They was killing all the men. They wasn't killing the women and children.
Okay, gotcha.
They did get okay. them at that time. But through it all, in battle, you know, surely there are some that did survive. And who knows why. You know, mm-hmm. but the majority, yeah, the ones that try to fight them and, you know, go against them, that type of thing. But there are one city, the women and the men were fighting, you know.
Right. So they killed the children, too.
Well,
yeah, because,
probably there were some children that was... I bet they didn't,
you
they
killed,
didn't
kill
the little babies, though.
Yeah, I don't know. The ones where the women was fighting, too. They're like, I killed both your mom and dad. I might as well. You are forever enemy, you know. Might as well go
yeah,
and
well,
kill
you know.
The baby, too, you know. I don't know. But, it's definitely a bloody scene going on here. There's a lot of killing, Giselle.
Lots
of killing going on. Okay.
Yeah,
you want to go ahead and get 41 in?
I'm not sure how much time we got, brother.
We got 33 minutes.
Okay, I bet we can.
All right. Don't get another one in there. Chapter 41. And the revolution of the year, the sons of Jacob journeyed from Shechem, and they came to Hebron, to their father Isaac, and they dwelt there. But their flocks and herds they fed daily in Shechem, for there was there in those days good and fat pasture. And Jacob and his sons and all their household dwelt in the valley of Hebron. And it was in those days, in that year, being the 160th year of the life of Jacob, in the 10th year of Jacob's coming from Padan-Aram, that Leah, the wife of Jacob, died. She was 51 years old when she died in Hebron. And Jacob and his sons buried her in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which is in Hebron, which Abraham had bought from the children of Heth for the possession of a burial place. And the sons of Jacob dwelt with their father in the valley of Hebron. And all the inhabitants of the land knew their strength, and their fame went throughout the land. And Joseph, the son of Jacob, and his brother Benjamin, the sons of Rachel, the wife of Jacob, were yet young in those days, and did not go out with their brethren during their battles in all the cities of the Amorites. And when Joseph saw that the strength of his brethren and their greatness, he praised them and extolled them. But he ranked himself greater than them and extolled himself above them. And Jacob, his father, also loved him more than any of his sons, for he was a son of his old age. And through his love toward him, he made him a coat of many colors. And when Joseph saw that his father loved him more than his brethren, he continued to exalt himself above his brethren. And he brought unto his father evil reports concerning him. And the sons of Jacob, seeing the whole of Joseph's conduct toward them, and that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him all the day. And Joseph was 17 years old, and he was still magnifying himself above his brethren and thought of raising himself above them. At that time, he dreamed a dream, and he came unto his brothers and told them his dream. And he said unto them, I dream a dream. I dreamed a dream, and behold, we were all binding sheaves in the field, and my sheaf rose and placed itself upon the ground, and your sheaves surrounded it and bowed down to it. And his brethren answered him and said unto him, What meaneth this dream that thou didst dream? Doest thou imagine in thy heart to reign or rule over us? And he still came and told the thing to his father Jacob. And Jacob kissed Joseph when he heard these words from his mouth. And Jacob blessed Joseph. And when the sons of Jacob saw that their father had blessed Joseph and had kissed him, and that he loved him exceedingly, they became jealous of him and hated him the more. And after this, Joseph dreamed another dream and related the dream to his father in the presence of his brethren. And Joseph said unto his father and brethren, Behold, I have gained a dream. Behold, I have again dreamed a dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me. And his father heard the words of Joseph and his dream. And seeing that his brethren hated Joseph on account of this matter, Jacob therefore rebuked Joseph before his brethren on account of this thing, saying, What meaneth this dream which thou hast dreamed? And this magnifying thyself before thy brethren, who are older than thou art. Doest thou imagine in thy heart that I and thy mother and thy 11 brothers will come and bow down to thee, that thou speakest these things? And his brethren were jealous of him on account of his words and dreams, and they continued to hate him. And Jacob reserved the dreams in his heart. And the sons of Jacob went one day to feed their father's flock in Shechem, for they were still herdsmen in those days. And while the sons of Jacob were that day feeding in Shechem, they delayed at the time of gathering, and the cattle was past, and they had not arrived. And Jacob saw that his sons were delayed in Shechem. And Jacob said within himself, Peradventure the people of Shechem had risen up to fight against them. Therefore they have delayed coming this day. And Jacob called Joseph his son and commanded him, saying, Behold, thy brethren are feeding in Shechem this day, and behold, they have not yet come back. Go now, therefore, and see where they are, and bring me word back concerning the welfare of thy brethren and the welfare of the flock. And Jacob sent his son Joseph to the valley of Hebron. And Joseph came for his brothers to Shechem and could not find him. And Joseph went about the field which was near Shechem to see where his brothers had turned. And he missed his road in the wilderness and knew not which way he should go. And an angel of the Lord found him wandering in the road toward the field. And Joseph said unto the angel of the Lord, I seek my brethren. Hast thou not heard where they were feeding? And the angel of the Lord said unto Joseph, I saw thy brethren feeding here, and I heard them say they would go to feed in Dothan. Joseph hearkened to the voice of the angel of the Lord and went to his brethren in Dothan, and he found them in Dothan feeding the flock. And Joseph advanced to his brethren, and before he had come nigh unto them, they had resolved to slay him. And Simeon said to his brethren, Behold, the man of dreams is coming unto us this day. And now, therefore, come and let us kill him and cast him in one of the pits that are in the wilderness. And when his father shall seek him from us, we will say an evil beast has devoured him. And Reuben heard the words of his brethren concerning Joseph. And he said unto them, You should not do this thing, for how can we look up to our father Jacob? Cast him into this pit to die there, but stretch not forth a hand upon him to spill his blood. And Reuben said this in order to deliver him from their hand, to bring him back to his father. And when Joseph came to his brethren, he sat before them, and they rose upon him and seized him and smote him to the earth and stripped the coat of many colors which he had on. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And in the pit there was no water, but serpents and scorpions. And Joseph was afraid of the serpents and scorpions that were in the pit. And Joseph cried out with a loud voice, and the Lord hid the serpents and scorpions in the sides of the pit, and they did no harm to Joseph. And Joseph called out from the pit to his brethren and said unto them, What have I done unto you? And in what have I, what have I sinned? Why do you not fear the Lord concerning me? Am I not of your bones and flesh? And is not Jacob your father, my father? Why do you do this thing unto me this day? And how will you be able to look up to our father Jacob? And he continued to cry out and call unto his brother for the pit. And he said, O Judah, Simeon, and Levi, my brothers, lift me up from the place of darkness in which you have placed me, and come this day to have compassion on me, yea, children of the Lord, the sons of Jacob, my father. And if I have sinned unto you, are you not the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? If they saw an orphan, they have compassed over him. Or one that was hungry, they gave him bread to eat. Or one that was thirsty, they gave him water to drink. Or one that was naked, they covered him with garments. And now then will you withhold your pity from your brother? For I am of your flesh and bone. And if I have sinned unto you, surely you will do this on account of my father. And Joseph spoke these words from the pit, and his brethren could not listen to him, nor incline their ears to the words of Joseph. And Joseph was crying and weeping in the pit. And Joseph said, Oh, that my father knew this day the act which my brothers have done unto me, the words which they have, this day spoken unto me. And all his brethren heard his cries and weeping in the pit. And his brethren went and removed themselves from the pit, so that they might not hear the cries of Joseph and his weeping in the pit. That was 41, Sister.
Brother, right. I just wanted to ask you, so Judah was one of the ones, right,
that put him in there? All of them was there.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Judah, Simeon, Levi, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they had a mean streak anyway.
They had a mean streak?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Simeon that thought about the idea of killing him.
Yeah.
You know, so,
but it was Reuben who decided just to put him in the pit, but not to slay his blood.
Right.
So he was planning on coming. He was planning on coming back and saving him, but he was trying to fool his brothers.
Right, and the reason why he would want to try to fool his brothers is because it must have been a very tense situation that he had to. That's the only option in plan.
Yeah,
so this is a very it was a very intense scene right now that we read.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, there were several against. He was just one against the many. I don't know.
Right. And that's how mad these brothers were at Joseph.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were blinded with jealousy and hatred, and Yeah, the crap kind of hit the fan on this one, because this is the way Reuben decided to play it, to outthink him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It didn't work,
though. He's like, let's not kill him, just put him in the pit. Just put him in
that
pit.
Yeah, it didn't work for him, though.
You know. Nah, it didn't work. It didn't work.
Mm-mm. You got to own up to it if you want to save your brother. You should say so, and but he didn't. He tried to do it a different way. But also, I wanted to say that I'm just surprised how they leveled those other cities and everything, and when it came to their own brother, this is what they do. And do you think that Joseph was rude and talking about himself being better than the rest, or they could bow down to him? Or will you think he was just, didn't understand?
I don't think he fully understand the gravity
of it
all. You know what I'm saying?
Until Jacob set him down and said that.
Yeah, apparently he's been saying things like that going on a little while. And this is what happened when he turned 17. You know what I'm saying? He started really having these dreams. And, you know, and the dreams, that's what really, that's what did it, is the dreams. Because apparently things would happen that kind of made it seem like it was true. And then so by looking, it's a lot of tension between their mama just passed away not too long ago. And how their dad didn't really love their mama. And his mama was, she was like, their dad really loved his mama. So there was a lot of family tension right there that, you know, even they couldn't control it. And, Joseph almost died, man. He almost died.
Yeah.
Very, very well could have. Because they was pretty much ready to throw it all away then. But they didn't. All right. But so that was 41, and we got 18 minutes left. So I kind of went through that chapter pretty quick. All right.
So that was good.
I guess. So we, as you know, by us reading about Joseph, you know where what's going to happen next. We're going to go into Egypt. We're going to start reading about Egypt and what went on in there.
Well, you know, I'm ready for it. And, you know, I already know a little of the story and everything, but I'm trying to get it from this book, you know.
Yeah, the extra little details that the book brings. Those little details.
Yeah,
I would want to know a little
bit.
Yeah, what all went down in Egypt, you know. that's what's up. This Sunday, we're probably going to have our Five Smooth Stone family.
Okay, all right.
Come on back. But Monday, I got to make sure we pick it up in Chapter 42 of Jasher.
That's correct.
All right. So that's the plan. That's the plan. with that being said, let's go ahead and just part ways, Estelle.
Okay,
and,
shalom, and you be safe on the road.
All right. Yes, ma'am, about your will. And you be safe at home. I know there's a lot of storms over that way.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been kind of getting beat up here lately.
Yes, we have here in Texas.
So you just continue just being safe. I'll be praying for everybody's safety. And all right, you take care, Sistel.
Okay, shalom, family.
All right, shalom, family. All right. So that's what's up, y'all. All right, let's see here. Let's play Blue Sky, Leaving Us Out.
What you making in the sky, my king? Is that New Jerusalem I see? See, you giving sight to the blind, my king. Your children can't wait till you come down, my king. Yeah. Prophecy coming to pass. Psychological war when the chosen is ending fast. Don't ever stop short. Your head might just go through the glass. Buy the truth and sell it not.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and stop that song right there. I like that song, don't get me wrong. But I got another song. I hope whoever's still listening, they can catch. I got a new song I want to bring out, y'all. It's a new one that I wanted to kind of end it with this song, really. But it's a new one, and it kind of, when I heard it, it caught my attention. And so, let's see, is Estelle still on? Did she hang up? Let's see. Estelle, you still with us? Okay. She didn't hang up already. Okay. All right. All right, I'm going to play it anyway. I really like this song, y'all.
Thank you. higher power in a palm. If that's true, I wanna take the time to speak life into you. I'ma help you overcome what you're going through. You're not in this alone, I was meant to put you on. You wanna see how good life is. All you really need is some guidance. The one close to you may not like it. That's cool, cause pretty soon them fools gon' see that you were a diamond. First of all, I wanna give praises to the Most High for giving me the strength to make changes in my life. Cause without me going through what I went through, how could I even have the wisdom to give you or lead by an example? So let me be your coach. You gon' need some advice when you get thrown against the ropes. I'ma keep you on your toes. I don't know if you know, but there are unseen forces battling over your soul. Who wins? Well, that depends on the choices that you make. My advice to you is choose life each and every day. That's easy for me to say when it's definitely not the case. It's tough when you got so much temptation thrown in your face. Okay, let's say if you fall by giving in, would you beat yourself up about it or get up and try again? Don't allow sin to be a burden. Accept and learn from it, move on and keep working.
They say it's power in a calm. If that's true, I wanna take the time to speak life into you. I'ma help you overcome what you're going through. You're not in this alone, I was meant to put you on. You wanna see how good life is. All you really need is some guidance. The one close to you may not like it. That's cool, cause pretty soon them fools gon' see that you were a diamond. I'm a SC, I do things a little different. I be at peace, cause I stay in the spirit. I'm a blessing to all those who dwell with me. I'm not flexing, but I say my life's litty. Love is what my foundation is built on. Everybody I connect with, the vibe be so strong. I'm vegan, so I got love for the animals too. Still my sisters and brothers, I do not look at them as fools. Because I'm pro-life, I swear to God of the living, they be the Most High. And anybody who don't like me, they'll be alright. They can keep that negativity on that side. Much love in my heart, grab a hold of my hand, let me pull you out the dark. I'm a light and that's a light, I'm just here to do my job. Know this journey is a fight, be prepared to go to war.
They say it's power in a calm. If that's true, I wanna take the time to speak life into you. I'ma help you overcome what you're going through. You're not in this alone, I was meant to put you on. I wanna see how good life is. All you really need is some guidance. The one close to you may not like. That's cool, cause pretty soon them fools gon' see that you were a diamond.
Yeah, I like that song, man. Shalom, shalom, y'all.